United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm your host, Don Redman, and with me today is Joshua Osberg, artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park for January and February of 2018. Joshua is a Master of Fine Arts candidate at Fontbonne University in St. Louis, Missouri. He's also a combat veteran who served in Baghdad with the 1st Cavalry Division. Joshua, welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Hi. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here today. So on your website, you show an example of a work that you call Decapitated and kind of the evolution of that work from sketch to final rendering.
Right.
And so I thought maybe we would kind of build you up that way in layers and maybe start with your early life. And I've read that artwork was an important part of your early childhood life. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
It was really everything's a process. And from that, what I mean is that it takes time to build up, I guess, for things to work out or things to get better. And I had a lot of problems as a child. And what helped me was focusing in on art, which in return helped me focus on everything else going on around me. And it really was a big part of my life. So
did it bring you clarity? Did it help remove you from what was going on?
I thought it was being removed at first, but really it came down to it was me kind of taking in everything around me and kind of putting it in front of me so I can look at it and kind of examine it. So it was like hyper-focused. So it was like kind of like anxiety. Everything seems to like come in around you and kind of become overwhelming, and that was kind of my place to take it and then be able to at least dissect it and try to figure it out. Because I don't really see it as an escape. Like I thought I did, but I don't think that's what is happening. I think what is happening is me. Is bringing attention to it and facing it. So basically, art was introduced to me from at an early age by a teacher and an art teacher. And I think that what happened was that she saw kind of the struggle that I was having, like, I guess, personal life. There was a lot going on. We were in poverty. I went to over 11 different schools growing up. And so the constant movement, being in one place, starting to build up, and then all of a sudden having to move again, I wouldn't say it affected me in a negative way, but I looked at it as a positive thing because I could reroute and kind of start over and also think about things differently. And so art was there as kind of the roots in itself. So it was really wherever I went, I had art with me. And that art teacher from when I was in grade school, she showed me that. And she kind of introduced that to me. And that's one thing that I've been most grateful for, because I've been able to do that. I took that with me to Iraq. I was a little unhinged, and I went to drawing and painting, and I did something with art. It was always there.
So as a child, what was your medium of choice?
It was whatever I got my hands on, really. Mm-hmm. So it was pens, markers, usually the basic tools in grammar school or high school.
Okay. And so, as you said, you know, at 21, you joined the Army.
Right.
And by 22, you were deployed.
Yes.
And so, I guess maybe if you could just give us an idea of what life is like when you're deployed in a hostile environment.
You don't really think about it while you're there because all you can think about is at home.
And is that where the artwork starts to come in?
Yeah, I think what happens, what I felt happened to me was that I started getting reminders of where I was, like experiences that I've encountered when I was there. There was always a constant reminder, and especially with being in a war zone. I mean, something that's constant was always, there was always either RPGs or you were getting mortared. And that was kind of always like every time something would hit, you'd kind of wake up and go, oh yeah, I'm here, you know? And I think those constant reminders kind of influenced me to go back to something that I remembered as a child that kind of helped me cope. And I was drawing, so, and it's kind of always been on walls. So I took this big scrap sheet of wood and kind of put it on a, bolted it on a wall and just started drawing on it. It was kind of like a journal, if you will.
Okay.
It's kind of how I saw it. That, I guess that's what it is. It's almost like journaling.
Right.
The drawing and the painting, that's what it is. It doesn't necessarily identify anything specific, but it does identify emotion.
Yeah, and there's certainly a your work is very intense. I guess is a word I could use from the outside perspective. And so it does appear that you really are expressing what you're feeling inside and trying to get it out.
Right. And that's why the reason why, for example, that I showed the decapitation photos of the process is because that in itself is a process. I saw it that if this was going to come up in my head all the time, and like if I thought about it all the time, I might as well bring attention to it and do something with it. And like I said, the art was always that tool to go, let's focus on this and let's figure out what's going on or what's happening and why are you so why are you so trapped by this thought? And it's kind of a way to free myself.
I read a quote from you, and I'm not sure if it's a direct quote or a paraphrase. Okay. But that for you art eliminates stress and produces satisfaction that's really not acquirable anywhere else.
Yeah. And that's been the truth since I've gotten back. It was hard for me to find anything to alleviate any of like the stressors or the pains that I've dealt with. And I wouldn't say that they were all negative. I think it was how I saw things. It's like I didn't really necessarily know that these things could have meant something good or positive. Like there were like these many experiences, like for instance, watching somebody die, you know, that could be seen as being very negative or like a negative impact on me, but I really chose to do something different with it. And how much of I wouldn't say blessing, but something similar to that this was something spectacular. Not many people get to witness this, or, you know, this is something special. And so I had to figure out a way to do something positive with it. And so I think that's kind of how I started focusing on it. So what was the...
Well, that you're using your that art for you as a way to eliminate stress and acquire satisfaction to bring peace.
And it's almost like a accomplishment. It's an accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It's going, okay, I finished this and now I feel satisfied. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. It's forcing yourself, like I said before, to kind of focus on something and pay attention to it, and then. And then once you accomplish whatever your objective is, then you know, you feel satisfied.
Very good. Well, why don't we shift now a little bit to your work here in Gettysburg and what you've been doing. So why don't you just start by describing your project that you're working on here in Gettysburg and the kind of the point of your residency.
So I called my project The Last Full Measure of Devotion, and it's kind of a reflection of kind of the Gettysburg Address, kind of what Abraham Lincoln said, you know, don't let these men die in vain kind of thing. And I think I took that to heart and I said, okay, so what can I do with this? Like, that meant something to me. That said, okay, so if I don't do anything with all the experiences that I did, that I had, then what do I do? And then how would I do it? And so I was like, either you can do something to help yourself or you can go into this black hole. And so, like, this was my marker, kind of like Gettysburg in itself was like, this is a transitional point. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. And so I told myself, okay, if I arrive, then that's the time, that's when things should start changing. And I know that I've made an effort to make a difference in my life. And to take into account all the people that have lost their lives, that were in the same position but didn't have the opportunity to come back home because of they lost their lives, you know. And so it was like, take a second to reflect on that. What do you do with it, you know?
Right. You've also said that you feel the Battle of Gettysburg was a turning point for history, art, and culture.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is it's like a transition. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a point where you go, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
What are you going to do? Am I going to not do anything, or am I going to be the artist that I want it to be, and not let these people die in vain? And that goes for the people what at Gettysburg, even, and for mostly the people in Iraq, mm-hmm. and Afghanistan, or wherever else, the people that lost their lives that don't get this opportunity.
I think as civilians, we may often see the Gettysburg battlefield as a peaceful, almost a serene place. But I'm wondering, as a combat veteran, what do you see as you walk these fields, as you look out across these?
I think it's serene. I think it's peaceful. But I think that it's also dark. But I don't see dark being as being a bad thing. I see, like, sometimes the darkness, inside the darkness, there's beauty, you know. It was a beautiful thing that they fought for, mm-hmm. and, you know, it may look different from the way that it sounds, but I think ultimately there's something beautiful about it.
I think I often think of the phrase where, you know, the truth may not be comfortable, but the truth is never good or bad. It just is the truth.
And right.
It sounds like that's what you're seeing here. You're seeing the truth of what happened here.
But you have to you have to understand that, and you have to accept it. And I think that's a big thing, was acceptance. It was like, these are the truths, exactly what you said, is that these are the truth. This is what happened. These are the things that happened. And what do you do about them? I mean, there's not much that you can do except for move forward or move sideways or move. Because when you don't, there's a dark hole that you go into, and you go pretty quick.
So, again, you're kind of in Gettysburg in what we would call the off-season.
Yeah,
there's
that's fine with me.
There's not a lot of people around. And so has that... it's probably been much more of a more personal experience with you.
It's exactly what it is, and it's a better transition. It's mm-hmm. it's not throwing me out there for the wolves kind of thing. You know, like, fend for yourself. Now, here it is. No, I think that it all happened, and in retrospect, I think that it all happened with good reason, or, like, the way that it was set up to where I came in the off season. I think that it's brilliant. I think that it was the best time for me. I think that this was a lot of self-reflection. I may not be all the way through it, but I did get to sit and really think about myself, the good and the bad. And I think that's what I needed. I think I need that. I need that reset, recalibration kind of thing. I mean, it's either that or I have a cycle. It's either I do something positive with it, or I do something like this going to Gettysburg, or I usually end up in the hospital.
So have you?
And it's as easy as that. Like you go either, it's either this or you go in, and you have to make a decision and you have to make a move. And that's kind of how it's been. And I've luckily been making the right decisions, I guess, as of lately. And because I don't want to go back down in that dark hole.
Do you find it's getting a little easier to make what you would say are the right decisions?
The more that I make them, I think that the better it gets, the chances of me making the right decisions are greater.
And have you, the works that you're hoping to complete while you're here, have you made good progress on that? Do you feel?
Right. I've started 12 to, I think it was like 12 or 15 pieces that I started so far. None of them are in completion. I don't think, as an artist, you can't say something's complete anyway. You kind of abandon it. But honestly, I don't think they're in a completed state at all. But I did show them this past Saturday because they were at a state in which I could show them. Like, they were in a presentable state. I did some drawings, and, you know, the reason why I came here, it wasn't to accomplish everything in this month-long, you know, it was maybe to initiate something also. Right. And I think these drawings and paintings that I've created since I've been here have really kind of pressed me to do something much larger. So, like, these paintings and drawings that I created are going to end up turning into possibly larger paintings or more detailed drawings, and that kind of gets me excited. And I started something, and it's like, okay, now how far can I take it?
And like you said, it's a process, and there may not be a completion to it. It's just part of the life process,
right? Yeah.
Well, and let's just maybe briefly just talk a little bit about your process as an artist. Some people work from memory, some people work from photos. Do you have a particular process that you use, or?
I use it all. To be honest, I don't typically use photos very often. It's either I work from life or memory.
Okay.
I try to stick to a lot of the classical ways of drawing and painting, which is work from life. Mm-hmm. You learn so much from life. Right. That's how you progress. Is sit there and you focus on, you know, what's in front of you. And that's, it just repeats exactly what I've been saying. Right. You know, and that's how art's helped me. Like, it's going, okay, these are all the things, and this is what you need to do with it, and this is how you do it. So it's like learning drawing and painting wasn't only learning drawing and painting, it was also teaching me how to live.
Right.
You know.
And I think, as we mentioned earlier in your piece, Decapitated, where you show us the process, you can kind of see that. You know, life kind of starts out as a rough sketch, and you don't really know where it's going, and then it changes and evolves over time. You know, so I think you're kind of showing us not only your work, but you're showing us the reality of how life evolves for us.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, and how rough it might start off, how rough it will be. And then maybe it's just not until the end that it makes sense. Right. You know, and that one's not completely finished either. I'm still working on that one. I have a few things to do with that.
Yeah, there was an interesting thing that I just personally noticed, how there were some scars on the figure that didn't show up till very much later in the process.
Yeah.
You know, and in my mind, I'm wondering, you know, were those scars always there? It just took that long for us to see them, you know.
Right. They're not meant to be completely visible.
Right.
Right.
So, well, I would like to thank you for joining us today. This has been wonderful.
Okay.
We've been speaking with Joshua Osberg, artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park for January and February of 2018. And you can find a link to Joshua's website on the description of this podcast. And Joshua, thank you for joining us today and sharing your experiences.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.